Welcome to Colorado, Colorado Springs. The weather is certainly agreeing with you. So, seeing those testimonies that we saw on the screen, it sounds like you've already got everything together. But we have not. We've had some pretty hard years. We were married to each other twice, once for 8 years, and we were divorced for 4. And we've been remarried now for 12 years.
We met in Grand Junction. That's on the western slope of Colorado. I was in the building business, building houses. Ethel worked at a furniture store that also sold carpets and hard surface and tiles and that kind of thing. So we met there and kind of had a lot in common. So from there, we ended up marrying.
Our marriage was really pretty happy for quite some time because we had the same goals. We were very materialistic. We wanted, everything was geared to what we could buy and what we could get, and big houses and big cars. And our family, we had children, but they were not our focus. And some of you may have grown up in families such as that. So one of our biggest regrets really has been how the children suffered because of our materialism and just our selfishness for so many years.
When we got married, like Ethel said, things were pretty good for a while. But one thing I kind of forgot to mention to Ethel was that I was a drunk, and I did a lot of drinking and of course, after we were married for a while, she found that out, and that led to some problems.
We went along for quite some time, about 6 years, and we had a family member that wanted to come and live with us, and she had lots of problems. And I thought, well, that's no problem. I'm real organized, and I can just handle this. It's not going to be a problem. I'll just tell her what to think and what to do and what to wear and what to eat and how to exercise, and just can help her and love her, and she can just change and she'll be fine. So she moved in and she hated all of my ideas. She didn't want to do anything, and it was really causing problems. And through this, I began to realize that I really did not have everything together, that everything was not under control. And even though I had claimed to be a Christian, for years, I'd gone to church, knew all the words. 18 years, I'd been involved in churches. And I finally realized that I had not asked Christ into my life. So I went up to my daughter's room and brought her down to the gazebo. And we prayed together. And I asked Christ to come into my life and be Lord and Savior. But that caused some problems because I was so excited about learning to grow and learning about Christ. I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day and read my Bible. And I knew that this was new. And I'd check in I had a Schofield Bible, and I thought, well, now where do I start? So I decided to start in the beginning. So I read through the Bible, and I can look in that old Schofield today, and there's little checks in funny places of the chapters, and that's when Sonny would get up. So.
And when I found out what had happened in Ethel's life, I knew she had lost her mind. So that brought on more problems for us. I started drinking more, staying away from home more, just entertaining myself at other people's expense.
This went on for some time, and we were passing one another in the hall, and the kids were miserable, and we weren't eating at the same table, and for several years we lived like that. And finally, I was asking for counseling, but I wasn't accepting the kind of advice that I was getting, so finally I just filed for divorce.
And Ethel asked me what I thought about that, and I said that was fine. I didn't really care. It would give me more time to entertain myself and do a little more drinking and the things that I like to do. I asked her if, if she could just get an attorney and take care of the divorce, and when they had it ready, I could just sign the papers. And while she was doing that, maybe she'd have time to get me an apartment and maybe kind of get me set up so I wouldn't have to take any time off from what I was doing.
So I was really happy about that, because he was not fighting this idea about getting a divorce. So I went down and filed for the divorce and got an apartment for him close to his work. And it was furnished, but it wasn't nearly as nice as home. So I took some paintings and hung them, and took flowers and accessorized it. And, of course, that's my business. That's what I do. So I made it really very nice. And filled the refrigerator, went to the grocery store, and just did everything really nice. And fixed him his last supper.
And Ethel thought that would be the end of me, but I would kind of go out and drink and run around and chase around until I needed a nurse to nurse me back to health. Then I would call Ethel and lie to her a bit about how I was going to change and how I was going to do things different. And that if she would spend some time with me, that things would be all right.
Well, I had not dated for 4 years, and finally I had a friend that decided that I should probably have a boyfriend, so he introduced me to a friend of his, and I began dating this fellow fairly seriously. But I was still concerned about not being able to get completely away from Sonny, because he kept coming back. He was just around. So I decided I'd move to London, because I thought, well, you know, if I move any place in the United States, Sonny's going to follow me. And he would have. He would have. It just wouldn't have been hard for him at all. So I had some friends that lived in London, and I went there for 3 weeks and checked out the job market and realized, after I'd been there for a while, that I didn't have a clientele there. I didn't know how to drive on the wrong side of the street. it was just overwhelming, and I thought, now this is ridiculous. What am I doing here? So I decided to go back and try to figure out something to do with my life. I didn't know what, but it was definitely not to be in London.
She also had a boyfriend that she was kind of missing, and the boyfriend didn't happen to be me. I didn't like that too well. But let's see here. Where are we? Oh, while she was in London, I was kind of run down and kind of needed to rest up a bit. So I called the house. And when I called the house, I got a fellow, and that was kind of a shock to me. He happened to be our housekeeper's brother, and he was just watching over the house. I asked him if I could talk to Ethel, and he said, no, she's not here now. She's going to move, and she's trying to find a place to live. And I said, well, if I could just get the phone number or an address, I could drop by and see her. He said, well, that might be kind of hard because she's in London, England. And I thought, yeah, that will be hard. And so fear kind of started setting into my life. I knew that I'd lost the one that I really loved. And so I waited for Ethel to come back.
Well, the night that I was supposed to get back, we flew from London to Dallas, and then I was to catch a plane to Denver and on home. And I just barely had time to be checked in, go through customs, and get on the plane to Denver. That was real short time. Well, the plane that had just come in from Denver, there was a plane that had arrived and a plane that was leaving for Denver side by side. The gates were side by side. And I was in such a hurry, I got on the one that had just arrived from Denver. So, and no one checked my ticket. I got in. I loved to read. I had my bag of books and I had my little glasses and had sat down, and the plane had taken off. And the pilot said, welcome to our flight to Miami. So I looked to the man sitting next to me and I said, do you go to Miami to Denver by way of Miami? And he changed seats. So there I was going to Miami. I had to spend the night. It was the weirdest thing. You can hardly get on an airplane. They check your tickets. I mean, they announce where you're playing, your destination. You just can hardly get on the wrong airplane. But I did. And during that time, Sonny can tell you what happened to him.
Well, when Ethel didn't show up after, I'd been waiting for 3 weeks for her to get home. So fear had really set in, and I didn't have anything left and nothing to just, I was alone and really down. So I went to my apartment and I got down on my knees. That was February 10th, 1980, and asked Jesus Christ into my life. So.
Well, when I got back, Sonny, of course, was anxious to tell me about his newfound faith. Well, I said, sure. You know, you've just lied so many times, and it was so hard to believe that this wasn't another, this maybe his last try. But finally, I did believe him, but I didn't want to give up what I had going with this other fellow, so I kept on seeing my friend.
During that time, I'd tried to quit drinking, and so I'd get off work and go to my apartment, and I'd shower and shave and clean up and cook a little bit and eat, and it would be like 6 o'clock. And I thought, boy, this being a Christian is really neat. I'm having a lot of fun now. And so I wasn't seeing Ethel, so I kind of started getting mad at God because I'd accepted Christ and that's what everyone had wanted all these years, and I'd done my part, and now things weren't working out too well. So I went back to the bars. And one evening I got really, really drunk. And I thought, well, the way to handle this is the way they do in the bars. I'll just go by the house and I'll see Ethel and rough her friend up a bit. And that'll take care of that. So I drove through our yard and we've got a circle driveway, and I circled around and went down by the street, and Ethel was there with her friend, and I thought, oh good. So I got out of my car and started back up the driveway, and Ethel knew what was going to happen because I'd performed before for her a few times, and so she met me down at the driveway, and about halfway down the driveway, tried to stop me. I picked her up, slammed her on the ground, hit her head on a rock, and did really serious brain damage. Put her in the hospital. She was in intensive care for 20 days. Didn't know whether she would live or die. They said that if she did live, she would have some serious problems, either be deaf or blind or speech problems. Would probably need care for the rest of her life.
While I was in the hospital, the police wanted me to file charges for assault against Sonny. And this was just like when I come back into this world. And I really wasn't angry. And no one could believe that. I mean, my kids, my friends. But I wasn't at all angry with Sonny because I was feeling so much guilt. And my guilt was because I was involved with a non-Christian, and I knew that was not pleasing to God. And also, the lifestyle, I had taken on his lifestyle, of course, and everything was wrong. It was all bad, and I felt so guilty and bad about what I had been doing, and that God had allowed me to live, and nothing has changed except I can't taste or smell. But everything else is fine. And I think, thank you, God. You know, he got my attention. He loved me so much that he allowed this to happen and brought us back to reality. It's just a grace of God. Even though we were doing everything wrong, God continued to love us and continued to draw us back.
During this time, while Ethel was in the hospital, of course, the police showed up on the scene, and they were trying to figure out just what they were going to do to me. I had several years booked into the state facility for assault. And so they called me and asked me if I'd come down and give them a statement of what I'd done. So I did. And the way they handle that, go down and they take it on tape, then they take it to the district attorney. The district attorney then decides what charges will be filed. And so I gave the statement, and they took it to the district attorney. The secretary was going to copy the tapes, and she put them on the machine and erased the tapes. So they didn't have a statement, so that took several more days. They called and asked if I could come down and give a new statement that they had ruined the one I'd given. So all that time helped me because Ethel was getting a little better as the time went on. So I gave a new statement. the district attorney decided that they'd file assault charges. That would be 5 to 10 years in Canyon City. That's the state penitentiary. That's if Ethel lived, and if she didn't, why, then it would be more. They turned me over to a bailiff, and he was going to take me over and book me into the jail. The courthouse in Colorado Springs is one building. The jail is just across a parking lot, and there's a tunnel, a passageway, that you can go from the courthouse to the jail. I went with the bailiff, and we got down in this passageway, and he met a friend of his. And this friend, evidently, he hadn't seen him for years, and so they shook hands and kind of sat down on a bench and visited for about a half hour or so. And they finally just got up, shook hands, and kind of looked at each other and left. And I was sitting on this bench, and I stayed for a while, and I thought, well, I might as well go back to work. So I got up and left. And a couple of days later, they called and said, you were really supposed to be down here, and something's happened. Would you mind coming back down? So I went back down, and the assistant district attorney, they book all of the peoples that act like I was into the court about the same time, and then you just wait your turn. The district attorney has all his folders and all of the stuff. So we went over the folder downstairs, and then we went upstairs to the judge's chambers, and they went through a couple of the guys, and then it came my turn, and the district attorney started looking through his folders, and finally he told the judge that he didn't have my folder, it was gone. So they lost my folder, and by that time Ethel was going to make it, and she was, in fact, she had asked to see me, and they had lifted the restraining order. And so the judge just dismissed my case, said that it's kind of hard to prosecute somebody without a folder. So
so you can see God's hand, I mean, just all the way. It just... by this time, I had realized that we were just not pleasing God at all, and I really decided to ask Sonny to remarry. And it was more out of obedience. I really was not in love with Sonny at this time, but I felt that it would please God if we would remarry and get our lives back in order. So we were remarried.
Ethel came down to our junkyard and asked me if I'd remarry her, and I was excited about that. And so she said that we're going on a Holy Lands tour, and we'll just get married while we're on the trip. So we went on the trip and married in the Colosseum in Rome, which was kind of exciting. But even after all of this, these problems and everything, I still continued to drink. And I almost ruined the second marriage. In fact, Ethel had told me that she wasn't going to divorce me, but that if I couldn't get my act together, she was going to separate. So I went down, called a doctor, had a physical, and put myself on antabuse. I don't know how many of you know what antabuse is, but antabuse is a drug, and if you take the drug and drink, it makes you deathly sick, and it can put you in the hospital or kill you if you drink too much. So now I haven't had a drink now in 12 years. So.
I think one of the things that has helped us the most since we've remarried has been staying in the Word. We've read through the Bible 12 times, going on 13, and we read every day. And people have said, well, you know, that's not in-depth study. But someone else told us that reading like that is like trying to fill a wicker basket with water. It won't ever be filled, but it'll continually be cleaned. And I feel that we've seen that over and over in our lives. We know what God says because we're in the Word. So the Holy Spirit brings to mind immediately when we're getting off track. And so that's been a wonderful part of our lives since then.
And our biggest regret is our kids. Our kids, we've got a daughter, two sons. I was never a father to them. We're closer now than we've ever been. But it's a lot of consequences to my travels. It's going to take years and years to heal that. And probably we missed out on the good times as far as father and son and father and daughter concerned.
So do as you heard on these tapes. Run the race. Keep focused. Thank you.
Welcome to Glen Eyrie. On behalf of the Navigators, I noticed they knew you were coming because when I drove in this morning, they had the Glen was closed. Had to drive around the barriers. I said, wonder why that is. Then I remembered the BSU from Oklahoma was here. You've closed the place down. Well, you know, as I think about that, Sonny and Ethel, I was just thinking when we got to know each other, it was in about 1981, wasn't it? Just when you were putting things back together. And I had never heard the full testimony on what you guys have gone through.